Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah, chapter number 9. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 9. And we want to give everybody plenty of opportunity. I like to wait until I hear the pages stop turning before we start reading the text. Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9. And we're going to begin reading verse number 23. Give you a moment still to find your place. I still hear a few pages turning. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 23. You found your place. Let's say amen this morning. Amen. All right. Let's begin reading Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 23. And I want you to pay close attention to the words, because the first phrase in verse 23. Now listen, all the Bible is the Word of God. Can I get a witness on that? It's all the Word of God. And I want you to pay particular attention to the first four words of Jeremiah 9:23. It starts off, "Thus saith the Lord." God Himself is getting ready to speak to you this morning. Anytime the man of God opens up the Bible, begins to read, Almighty God speaks. The King is beginning to speak. And I'm going to tell you, I would not trade my calling to preach the Word of God. I would have to step down to be the President of the United States of America. The greatest thing that God can do to anybody is to tap him on the shoulder and put him in the harness of the gospel and tell him to plow until God calls him home. And I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 23, and we're going to begin to read. The Bible says here, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24 says this, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Father, as we bow before your presence this morning, Father, I want to stop for a moment just to recognize your headship in this service, your lordship, not just in this service, but in this sanctuary and in the lives of your saints. Father, we have sung a few old spiritual songs. We've sung a hymn this morning. And now, Lord, we are wanting to, and we even sung part of a psalm this morning, Lord. Lord, we want to stop right now and recognize that we're getting ready to enter the most important part of the service today. We're asking, oh God, that you would minister to our hearts, the hearts of your people. God, we are looking for you to do great things the next few days, the next 4 days, Lord. God, in our Jubilee meeting, Father, it comes once a year. We prepare for it, food, and Lord, try to put back some money to take care of the expenses. But, oh God, we need a great, great move of God to have anything of lasting, value. Father, we're asking that an eternal work would be done in our days this week. Father, please, would you minister to our hearts? Oh God, we need your touch today, and I'm praying, Father, that you would do a work that we cannot do. And Lord, we ask you this morning to speak, Lord. You will speak through your word. And Lord, through your word only, Lord, do you speak. We ask you, Father, please, to take our hearts, that you would open them up to receive with meekness, Lord, the engrafted word, God, that the Bible says is able to save our souls. Lord, you have saved them through Christ. And Lord, you save us on a daily basis, Lord, from the power of sin. I pray that you would continue to do that in our lives and help us, Lord, to honor you. Bless every soul who's coming to this place this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses that we are looking at here, if we go back to Jeremiah chapter 9, this same chapter, and I want you to look at verse number 1 in Jeremiah chapter 9. So just flip back to the beginning of the chapter there in your Bible. Jeremiah is going to begin his second lamentation. The first lamentation, the great wailing, the bearing of his heart forth, the first one begins in chapter 4 and verse number 19, if you're taking notes. But this is the second lamentation that he has. It says in chapter 9, verse 1, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And when we look at Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19, we look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 1, we see where Jeremiah is asking God that his eyes were eyes of tears to weep because of the sin of God's people. Someone says, "Preacher, what's the problem?" Well, Babylonian captivity is lurking just in the near future. Jeremiah is the last prophet before the nation of Israel goes out into captivity. And God's people have sinned, and God's people are a disobedient nation because they have refused to walk in the way that God had set down in His law. Now understand this, that when God says, "Thus saith the Lord," and He gives us the Word of God to live by, that obligates us to live under the banner of God's truth forever. Now understand that the Old Testament sacrifices have gone away. The Old Testament civil law has gone away because that dealt with Israel. But the moral law of God is wrapped up in the person of who God is. And that law has never changed. I mean, it was still wrong to kill under the Ten Commandments. And it's still wrong to kill now. It says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You still should not commit adultery. It's wrong to do it. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." It's still wrong to do that. And so God's people did not walk as they should have. Now I want to point your attention, given our text in chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 4. Look in verse number 3, chapter 9, verse 3. It says, "And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies." Just as you'd pull a bow back to turn loose an arrow, they do the same thing. Every time they'd open up their mouth, a lie would come out. "But they are not valiant for the truth." Now watch this, "upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." Now I want us to jump down to verse number 6, and I want you to see the sin of the nation of Israel. They don't know Him in verse number 3, but look at verse 6. "Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." Jeremiah is weeping over a people who refuse to know God. They refuse to submit their lives to what God says. Let me just say this at the outset. You will never be a happy Christian. You will never be a happy believer in Christ until you submit your life completely and totally unto God. You'll never be happy. You will never be happy. And here's the thing I want you to see. We will see they refuse to know them. The tongue is mentioned several times throughout this chapter. Their sins are brought to their remembrance again. And we come to our text in verse 23 of chapter number 9, and we're going to see where they had laid their trust, their foundation, to be able to get out of this jam that they're now getting ready to face. You see, judgment's coming. Judgment is coming to the nation of Israel, and they have refused to know God. They've been deceived through deceit. It says in verse 6, they refuse to know God. There are so many folks who profess to know God, and the Bible says, but in works, they deny Him. I want to read our text verses again this morning, chapter 9, verse 23 and 4. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." Father, I know I've prayed already, but I want to ask you specifically at this point in time, you would place your stamp of approval upon the Word of God this morning, and would you please speak to us and help us, Father, to be obedient to these verses, verse 23 and 4. That our hearts might be brought up in worship to you. I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, having said that, let me take you back a few days here. Last Monday, a week ago, I had a chance to, actually, yeah, it's been 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I preached the Preacher's Fellowship down in Laurel. I had a message I was going to preach already, knew exactly where I was going, began to read some other, had a particular book, I'd read the preface to this book, and a verse of Scripture was referenced. I opened up the Scripture, and as I read that Scripture, it was verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 9, and read verse 24. And those words absolutely jumped off the page at me. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You read the Word of God and those words jump off the page at you. And it was one of those things that, you know, Lord, I've already got my outline. I've already got it. I preached it, Lord. I know it. I got it. But do you really want me to preach this? And you preachers know how this is. It's much better to go with what God gives you with just a handful of verses that you've jotted down, a handful of things you've jotted down, versus a complete outline. Now, you folks know me. I believe in studying. I don't believe in being lazy. Any preacher who sits on his computer and plays solitaire all week long, he needs to get kicked out of the ministry. Somebody say amen. That's right. He needs to work and labor in the Word of God. He needs to be where God's people can get a hold of him and be able to counsel folks out of the Word of God. He needs to be camped out. His life is the Word of God. He, as Timothy was told by Paul, he needs to give himself wholly to those things that his profiting would appear before all. That's what the man of God ought to do. And as I began to read those Scriptures I preached that day on knowing God, and can I tell you, God put a special touch on these verses during that meeting. God touched those verses, and God blessed that. Tuesday morning, I got up and I read those verses again because God showed me that Monday that these were going to be the verses that we needed to have for our Jubilee meeting this year. I wish I'd had them 6 months ago, but I didn't have them. But the Lord gave them to me. These are the verses that I want us to concentrate on for our Jubilee. And let me just give you a little bit of a personal testimony, and then I'm going to look at these Scriptures this morning. Tuesday morning, I prayed those verses, and I said, God, I want to know You. I said, God, I want to know You, not just in the free pardon of sin as I already do. Not, I'm saved already. You can't get any more saved than I already am. You're either saved or you're unsaved. It's like almost expecting a baby. You're either expecting or you're not. It's one or the other. I mean, there's no middle ground. You're either saved or you're unsaved. I'm already saved. I already know the Lord and the Lord knows me. But Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And I prayed those verses. I said, Lord, I want to know You. God, I don't have any might. I don't have any might. I don't have any riches. I don't have it. I was asked for change for 20 this morning. You don't ask a preacher for change. We ain't got none. Okay? We just ain't got none. I'm sorry, I'm such a disappointment. We ain't got none. Now, I know that's bad grammar, but that's good East Tennessee. So, yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen. And what wisdom that I might have is all borrowed wisdom because I learned it from somebody else. So I don't have anything. But I prayed this past week, said, Lord, I want to know You. And I had no idea that less than 3 hours after that prayer, my whole week would be just turned up. Upside down. No idea. I had no idea we were going to walk into an ultrasound room. Had no idea that they were going to place that little instrument on Mom's belly. Had no idea they were going to find no heartbeat. I had no idea. And after the shock and the awe, if I could use that phrase that came with that, thinking about that, thinking, Lord, we knew this was a possibility, but the brother down in Greenwood's got a daughter who's 5 years old and she's doing well, and folks go all the way out there to DC or Washington, Tacoma, Washington. They had the big conference out there with those children who have that particular disorder. Those kids are doing okay. Why our daughter? Why us? And I will tell you, that's when it hit that God was allowing me to enter into a place where I was going to learn to know Him. My wife and I walked arm in arm, hand in hand, walking down the stairs. And as I walked down the stairs, the words came to my mind, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I can honestly say, though I have cried tears, though I have had a hard time in my own way, can I tell you, the grace of God has been more real in my life the past week and a half than it has been ever since I bowed my head at Rocky Branch Missionary Baptist Church in Walling, Tennessee, and asked God to save me. The grace of God has been more real than it has ever been real in my life. God's presence has been real. Because at that time, you can't glory in man's wisdom, you can't glory in might, you can't glory in riches. The only thing you can glory in is that there is a God in heaven, there's a judge of all the earth who will do right, and hallelujah to God, when He comes back, it shall be well. Amen. Glory to God. I said all that to say this, I have learned this past week and a half how strong the grace of God really is. And I could be wrong. Now the Lord may take me or my wife from one another tomorrow. I mean, we have no promise of tomorrow. Job lost all of his children in one day. Thank God I still have five. He's got one we know of that has just beat us over there. It's all right. I don't know what the day may bring, but I do know this, that God's grace is sufficient. And it could be, even though we don't know what tomorrow is, it could be that the greatest days of ministry for myself and for my wife may just lie out in front of us. I know a lot of folks think, well, people, that happens all the time. Well, yeah, there's a difference between a statistic and looking at that screen and at your little baby whose heart's not beating. There's a difference. There's a difference. And I would not trade my knowledge of God for all the gold in Fort Knox. I would not trade 10 million worlds to know that God knows me. God knows me. What I want to do this morning is I want to just take us a little bit through this text. Because that's what Bible preaching is. It's not me just giving my testimony. It's giving you this out of the text. I want you to see the Scripture. It's not always unto a disobedient people that God has to preach to. Sometimes He preaches to people. A lot of times He preaches to folks who are walking with God who are obedient. In fact, those are the ones who get pruned, John 15. The obedient people are the ones who will be pruned. And the reason that they get pruned is so they may bring forth more fruit. The pruning process is painful. It's always personal. Sometimes it's private. It's permanent. Thank the Lord God. It purges us that we may bring forth more fruit. Now having said that, I want to look down here in these verses again. First thing I want you to see is in verse 23, I've already mentioned this, there is a word from God. What are the first four words of verse 23? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. There are churches all across our land today. You know what they're doing? They've taken the pulpit, they've scooted it off to the side. They've got a glass stand, a fellow who doesn't know how to dress, holy blue jeans and, you know, got, you know, a raggedy old t-shirt. And Lord of mercy, he wouldn't know a comb or a brush if it smacked him in the face. And he gets up and he's going to rap with God's people and try to tell them about how to have their best life now, like old Jolly Osteen does. But brother, what we need in our land today is for somebody to open up the Bible, read what God said, and to tell God's people what God said so that God's people can grow in the things of God. That's what we need. The only thing that's going to help us is Bible preaching. I like getting in a big way. I mean, you know me. Hey, I'm from the South. Brother, you're not preaching unless you're hacking and you're walking the aisles and walking across the bench tops. It's kind of that way down there. But brother, I'm going to tell you, I would rather hear a man open up the Bible and tell me what God said, whether he raised his voice, whether he walked across the bench tops, whether he got in a big way. Tell me what God says.
In our text, I want you to see that this is not the preacher speaking. This isn't the evangelist or the missionary. This is God speaking to us. Thus saith the Lord. And then he says this. He speaks to three classes of people. And this is where all of human life boils down. Watch this. There are the wise people. There are the mighty people, the movers and shakers, typically your politicians. And then there are the rich people. Those three classes of people look at you and me and they look down. We're just common people. We don't drive new vehicles every year. I mean, they don't have the number one show up on their vehicle. They don't drive them over 100,000 miles. Turn around and trade those things in. We're not rich. We don't hobnob with rich folks. We're not members of the country club. We don't go over to places and have all these dinners where you have to hold your teacup in a certain way and have to keep your pinkies up and all. I couldn't do that. I went to a couple of those little things when I was real young, and Lord help, I mean, you talk about feeling like a fish out of water. Oh my. You see, the world looks down on us because we don't have a lot of wisdom. Now, some of us in here, we have a college education. That's okay. But here's the thing. There's always somebody who has more, and they like to let you know how much more they have than you. There's some folks who do that. Now, there's a lot of folks with college education. They couldn't find their way out of a wet brown paper bag. Somebody say amen. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. But that's where men hold their trust. Their foundation is in their education. They've got a few letters after their name. A lot of folks, they're mighty. They can pull those political strings because they know people. They can get things done behind the scenes that nobody else can get done. Then they're the rich men. When they get into a jam, you know what they do? They don't have to write a check. They just pull the cash out and slip it in the pocket and go on, and that's the way it works. And here's what God is saying. Now, in the context, Babylon's getting ready to come in. Their wisdom, their might, and their riches are not going to deliver them from Babylonian judgment. The only thing that's going to deliver them and help them is knowing the right wisdom. But here's what God's saying. There is a word from God. But now we're getting a warning from God what not to trust in. You see, verse number 23 can be summed up in this. Verse 23 contains false confidence. False confidence. That's where a lot of people just put everything, all their eggs in that one basket. I'm putting my eggs in my education, my might, my wealth. But I want to point your attention down here. There is a word from God. There's a warning. You see, here's the thing. There are a lot of folks, they don't have the right priorities. A lot of folks just do not have the right priorities. Why is it that these people trusted wisdom, might, and riches? And I say that's where they invested their life. Why is it that back when the stock market crashed in October of 1929, that millionaires jumped out of windows to their deaths? The reason being is because every bit that they had invested in was gone. And what you invest in, what you place your life in, makes all the difference in the world to you. And it will come out what you invest your life in. I want to warn us today that there are wrong priorities that we can get in our lives that turn us away from the true knowledge that we ought to have in verse number 24. I'm all for education. I'm all for it. You ought to get as much as you can and can all you get. I'm not against education. Now there's a difference between education and schooling. Whether you have a college degree or not, typically that matters on jobs anymore. But I'm for you getting all the education that you can get. Whether you're self-taught or whether you have somebody teach you. It makes no difference. I'm all for you trying to make sure that you exercise yourself to the greatest ability. But brother and sister, let me warn you today, do not trust in those things as if they were the all and the end all. Don't trust them. We've got these wrong priorities in our lives to where God, if we're doing everything we can during the week, and if we can just squeeze God into an hour and a half on Sunday, we've done the best we can. God wants full custody, not just weekend visits. God is interested in your life. If you're one of His children, God's interested in your life. And God wants you to shine forth for Him. Can I tell us this morning that God wants us to line up our priorities? God comes first. The Lord comes first. He comes before anything else. God comes before my wife, before my children, before any ministry that I have, because any ministry that I have is built upon my relationship with the Lord. God wants us to line those priorities up. Young folks, get the education. Get it. Study. Find that job. Go to that trade school. Do what you need to do. But brother, let me tell you, don't let that be the one thing that controls your life. I'm not rich, I've never been rich, but I'm going to tell you, I know it's not about money. I know that it's not about the things that you amass and the things that you have for yourself. Because what's going to happen, you're not going to believe this, but when my dad died on May the 3rd, 2000, when we cleaned out the house, everything that dad had worked for was there, and a lot of it just went out never to be seen ever again. I know there was that picture on Facebook that went around, there was a U-Haul behind the hearse. Pull her up to the graveyard, put everything in that hole, cover it up. It's still not going any farther than that hole in the ground. Don't trust your wisdom, your might, or your riches. Don't do that. Don't trust in them. What happened in 2008? I know men. There was one of the men in the church, or not the church, the school that I worked at down there. He had a lot of stock in AT&T. He had a lot of stuff in his retirement. I mean, the whole Blount County system had their stuff in Enron. Well, you know what happened to that. And folks' retirements got cut by 40%, if not more, in many cases. Can I tell you that if you place your trust in riches, those uncertain riches, that will fail you every single time. But here's what I want us to look at here today. Look at verse 24. But let him that glory, if that word glory means to exult in, to brag about, to lift yourself up in. There are a lot of folks, they will glory because, you know, you've seen their bumper stickers. My kid's an honor student. Then you've seen the bumper stickers, my kid beat up your honor student. We're not talking about those. Yeah. We're not talking about those bumper stickers. Here's what we're talking about. What is something that you and I can truly brag about? Without being braggadocious, if I can use that phrase, without being braggartly and boastful to the point of turning the fingers back at us because of our pride, what can we brag about? Look at verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this. What can I glory in, preacher? What can I lift up myself in and brag to other folks about? Listen. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I've been here for close to 3 years. I'm going to round it to three, if y'all, that'll be okay. I'm going to round it to three. And I preached all over the place. Tennessee, a few places in Kentucky. You know, different places, Virginia, preached different places. And I want to tell you, in my limited experience, here's what I've seen. I have gone to churches where people have sung the songs. They've gone through the motions. They read the Bible. They give. Thank the Lord people who give. We've got to keep the lights on. Got to keep the place up. Amen. My family's got to eat. Thank you. People go through all of that. But when it really comes down to where the rubber meets the road, I want you to listen to the preacher this morning. What I do not see is an intimate knowledge of God. I asked you the question the other week. Does my wife prefer Mexican, Chinese, or Italian? Now, a few of y'all know the answer because y'all have gone up and asked her. I know that. Now, I'll go ahead and give you the answer. It depends on what mood she's in. Amen. You can raise your hand up and give us a witness, sister. Amen. That's right. She knows I'm telling you right. And the reason I know that's because I know her. I want to ask you this today. What does God prefer? What does God delight in? Why is it that we don't see people in love with the Lord? Some people are blinded because of those riches, their wealth, and their wisdom. But let me just turn the tables here just a minute. There are a lot of folks, their problems cloud everything that they see. Their state in life clouds everything that they see. And because of their problems, they cannot see God. I've heard people say, well, I pray and the Lord's not answering me. Do you know Him? Do you know the Lord? Are you reading your Bible on a regular basis? Are you praying on a regular basis? There are some victories that are only going to be won in your prayer closet with the Word of God, and God have to come through and help you out. I'm telling you. I know this by experience. You, some of you all in this room, you know it by experience. And may I say to you, I just want to ask you, do you know it? The thing that bothers me is I see so many people, they don't know Him. They're in church Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday, and they go through the motions, but they don't know Him. I went through the motions the first 18 years of my life. Saturday evening Mass, Sunday morning Mass, Catholic catechism, did not know Him. And what is sad is that there are people who sit in our good Bible preaching churches Sunday after Sunday, and they don't know Him. And here's what happens. They're trusting in a profession that they made years ago. There are some folks, they're going to trust in a profession that they made when they were 8 years old at Vacation Bible School. But there has never been any fruit out of their life. I want you to listen to the preacher. If there's no fruit in your life, you are unsaved at all. Period. You need to be born again. You will either bear fruit for the Lord or you're going to bear fruit for the devil. Whose fruit are you bearing? There are so many people, they say, well, I went to the altar and I prayed. There is nothing magical about coming up here to the front. There's nothing magical. You can come up here and pray. I'm not going to stop you from coming and praying. I think you ought to come pray at some time. It's fine. We ought to pray. Preacher needs to pray sometimes. But brother, there's nothing magical about coming up here to the front. I've had a lot of preachers even question me on that. Why is it you're against? You know, find an altar call in the Bible. Find one. When you find it, let me know. But I'm all for coming to the altar and praying. I'm not against it. But there are some folks, they think that just because they've walked the aisle, they've come down here, they've shaken the preacher's hand, everything is fine. I want to ask you a question. Do you know who God is? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he under... Listen, do you understand God? Do you understand Him? Psalm 103, is it verse 6 or 7? That He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. See, a lot of people, they know the acts of God. They know that God does things. They know what God does. And you know how they know what God does? Because they read about it. They read about it. But when it comes to the ways of God, how God operates, they're complete strangers to it because they don't know Him. They don't know Him. It's so sad to think that we are more interested in what you know, a particular news channel may have or what a particular television show may have. I'm going to tell you, I like to hunt and fish. If I can't get out and hunt and fish, it's nice to watch somebody else do it on TV. I think it's great. I just can't watch it. I don't have TV to watch it on. But it's nice to be able to see it sometimes. But brother, if I had my choice of having all expense paid trip to go to the Rocky Mountains, guaranteed elk with a bow or rifle, wouldn't make any difference to me. But the stipulation was I couldn't go to church for a year. You can have the elk. Keep it. I don't want him. I don't want him. If the stipulation was you must miss one Sunday, I'm not missing a Sunday. One of these days I'd love to take a 2-week trip to go to the Boundary Waters canoe area and just canoe and camp and fish and just sleep outside. I'd love to. When the mosquitoes ain't out. I'd love to. But I can't do a 2-week trip because I would miss the Lord's Day. And I know some folks think, well, preacher, that's crazy. I know that's the way God's dealt with me. It's the way God's wired me. I believe Hebrews 10:25. You know, nobody has ever had to send a visitation committee out to get me to come back to church. I'm so concerned when folks just... Now, I know folks have to work. I know folks have got to work. I understand that. I know folks have got to go out of town. Folks have out-of-state responsibilities you've got to take care of. I understand that. You've got a place to keep up. I understand. Folks have legitimate reasons for not being here on Sunday. But you're somewhere on Sunday down yonder. I know that. Because God's people love the house of God. But I've never had anybody come by and say, Brother John, we missed you at church Sunday. Would you come back? Would you come back? I just got my feelings hurt. I know. I'm concerned. I know you're not going to believe this. There's been times that my wife and I, we've disagreed with each other. I know you find that hard to believe. We've disagreed with each other. We've even looked cross-eyed at one another. Heaven forbid. She's so pretty, it's hard to look cross-eyed at her. And I will tell you, sometimes you just look cross-eyed at her. We've had disagreements. But I'm not going to get up and leave because we have disagreement. And we need to know that just because things may not work out, I'll tell you, if anybody's had a reason to get out of church, look at here. There's just a handful of you in here. You followed a coffin of a child out to the cemetery. Instead of running away from God, I have run toward Him. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is my rock, my fortress, my strong and mighty high tower. And I tell you, the only way that I have made it through this is because I have known Him. And brother, let me tell you, because of the hope of the resurrection, I know that one day the family circle is going to be reunited. And it's not just so long, it's just hello, darling, see you in the morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, listen, there are some folks, I wonder, do you love the Lord? Whether this is for our chastening, whether this is something that we've done, that God's done, or God's using it to expand. I don't know what God's going to do. I know this, that God will always do right. He will never do wrong. We say God is good. I've said it before. He can be nothing else but good because that is His nature. But brother, I want to tell you that people in our Baptist churches, they profess to know God, but they don't know who He is. I almost feel like standing up with the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill and saying, Him whom you ignorantly worship, declare I unto you. Do you know who God is? Missionary Dwayne Harrison down at Ridgeview Baptist Church 2 years ago said this, that most folks who profess to believe God, worship a God they don't even know. And he didn't mean that bad. He just simply meant this, that we are not acquainted with God. Do you know why the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Christian Science, the Christadelphians and others, do you know why these groups exist? It's because they got an F in theology, the doctrine of God. They do not know the person, the character, and the nature of God. One man said this, every heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And brother, that he hit the nail on the head. I'd try to find some way to sum it up better. He summed it up better than I could ever say it. Every heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And church, this week, here's what I want us to do. I want us to consider just stopping for a little while, snuggling up really close to Him and asking God to let you come in closer where you may know Him. Now, I will tell you, it may bring trials. It may bring heartache. It may bring sorrow. I'm going to tell you, I've learned more about God and known God and felt His presence more in the last 10 days than I have known it in years gone by. And I've been preaching for over 20 years. We've been married 23, so I've been preaching about 24. So I want you to understand, God has been so gracious in this old boy's life to help me out. What should we delight in? What should we glory in? That we understand and know God. He said that I am the Lord, watch this, which exercise what? What's that first word? What is it? What's that first word? Somebody tell me. Look in your book. Loving kindness. You know that God doesn't do anything out of spite or hatred or malice, but everything that God does is exercised by His loving kindness. The word there, loving kindness, is a love that has been set on your heart. God loves you. He said over there in one of the, I believe it might have even been in Isaiah, He said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I've graven thee on the palms of my hand. That's the God we're talking about. That's Him. I want to encourage us today, loving kindness, righteousness. God's always going to do right. He's always going to do right. Judgment. God is the one who's going to come in, take care of right from wrong. He's always going to exercise the difference between the good and evil. He's going to do right. And He's going to know not just our actions, but our attitude. Not just what we do, but the reason why we do that. And I know we're not shouting from the housetops today. And I really feel like it's a hard time. I feel like I'm really having to plow really hard this morning. But I just want us to understand that anytime I preach on the knowledge of God, there's always a push against that. Push against that. Because God wants us to know Him. Nehemiah 8:10 says this, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. I just want to ask you this morning, think about it. Oh, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved, preacher. Very little do I get around folks where I see the joy of the Lord bubble up at some point in time. Ever so often it will. Some folks eat and sleep, you know, hunting, fishing, you know, all kinds, you know, cars, whatever. Christians, though we have jobs, though we have other activities, though we have hobbies, we ought to eat, sleep, and drink the Word of God, Christ, His Word to us. My message this morning is this, truly knowing God. Do you know Him? Are you willing to walk through a valley and let God choose that valley for you that you might know Him? I want to encourage you today. Instead of, you know, maybe a regular Sunday routine, you know, go back home, kick back a little bit. I don't even know what sports are on now. I couldn't even tell you. I mean, it's July, almost August. I'm not even sure what all's on out there. Instead of doing that, maybe even turn on the news. It's all bad, seems like. Very little good. Open up the Bible, look in one of the Psalms. Read Psalm 46. Look at the glory of God in that Psalm. Read it. And just let Him love on you through that. Read Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Yeah, read that. And why the Lord needs to be praised in the middle of the sanctuary. And this week, church, let's get our hearts and minds on Him. And as the preachers begin to preach, as every one of these men come in and they preach, let's listen for the voice of God to see what God says. That God would be glorified in awakening our affections toward Him. That we'd love Him more. I want to love my wife more. I want to love my children more. How much more should I want to love God more? The lover of my soul. Don't glory in what we have. Let's glory in what God has done for us. Let me leave you with this, Galatians 6:14. Here's what Paul says. Galatians 6:14. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world." And if we're going to glory, let's glory in Christ and the cross that purchased us unto Himself. Amen. Father, we've tried to deliver what we have meditated on, thought on. Lord, had a harder time preaching this morning. So Lord, if that's my fault, maybe I should have been exercising more myself in prayer. Lord, maybe that's the problem. I'm sorry if that's the case. God, I know that we need to have You, God. We need to have You. We've got to have You. Lord, I do want to thank You for the presence that I felt personally this past week. And Lord, the grace that You've given to us, my wife and my children. I thank You, Lord, for the work of God that was done in their hearts this week. Thank You for saving Caleb, saving Joshua. Thank You for saving Hannah, Lord, here just a month and a half ago down in Kentucky. We ask You, Lord, for Sarah and for Charity that You would save them, Lord, when they reach the age where they understand. I thank You, Lord, for the little one that who is safe now in the arms of Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for the mercy that You've shown to us and just allowing us, Lord, just to know You and to love You. Please, Lord, we ask that You would bless our time this afternoon. Bless the week upcoming, the preachers who will be coming in. We pray that You'd help us, Lord. Glorify Yourself this morning, Father. Give a special blessing, Lord, to the folks who are visiting with us today. They could have gone anywhere and they, Lord, chosen to come here. So I just pray You'd bless them. And Father, help them this morning. Help all of us this morning, Lord. We need to hear from heaven. Lord, help us to love You and know You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.